Good morning and happy Mother's Day. Thank you. Are there any moms out there today? I see some. You gotta love Rosita, don't you? 25 kids. I have two, and I sometimes struggle to get through the day. And just for fun, one day I sat down and kind of did a little bit of math to figure out some of the things that a mom accomplishes in her lifetime. This is based on my mom, who's here today. And she's been a mom of four kids for 45 years and counting. We lived at home about 28 of those years. And so I've guessed that in those 45 years, she probably made about 3,000 trips to the grocery store with kids. Okay, you've been to the store with kids, you know what I'm talking about, right? This is not an easy thing. I guessed, back in the days before email, and you could just, with the click of a button, talk to 25 people at one time and get a message out. She was in part a number of groups and clubs and things at church, and so before email, you had to make 25 phone calls to get the message out to those people. So imagine 6,000 to 10,000 of those phone conversations happening with kids in the background. Mom, I need this. Mom, she hit me. Mom, I need help with my homework. Not an easy thing. And how about diapers? I see some babies out there. They poop and pee a lot. So with four kids, I'm just going to guess maybe 17,000 diapers. She changed us a lot of diapers, and some of those were cloth back in the day, all right? And how about the grocery bill? To feed a family of six over that much time probably took, conservatively, $350,000 to feed all of us. And that's not counting what she's done with the grandkids. So with all that, I think she turned out some pretty amazing kids, right? Thank you. And let's not forget my dad. He had some help with that, and they did it together as a team. And so I thought, like, how do we honor that? How do we recognize that? Should we give moms gold medals today? But I don't think that my mom would appreciate a gold medal as a token of what she's done. And the things that I listed just scratch the surface. We know that moms spend hours praying for their kids and having conversations with them about faith and life and school and all those things. And I don't think that your mom would necessarily appreciate a gold medal either, because being a mom, which I am, isn't about doing the most or finishing first or being the best. Being a mom isn't about me. It's about having influence and being significant in the lives of my children so that someday they will have an impact on the world and ultimately on God's kingdom. That's what it means to be a mom. Now, I know that Mother's Day for some of us is not necessarily a happy day, because some of us are grieving the loss of our mom. And some of that very recent, Jamie Berry's mom passed this last Monday, and our prayers and sympathies continue to go with their family. Some of you are grieving the fact that you're not a mom and you desperately want to be. And those feelings, I want to encourage you, come to you because you received a mother's deep love. You know what that love is because your mother gave it to you. And the deeper the love your mother had for you, the deeper those feelings of loss and sadness are going to be. So rather than fighting that today, embrace it. And then make it your goal to share that love with the people around you, because that's too precious to keep to yourself. And really, that's God's design for all of us. To take what has been given to us, what's been entrusted to us, that's the word we're going to latch onto today, and to do something with that that honors God and blesses other people. And whether you're a mom or not today, we can all learn something from the role that God gives to mothers. In fact, the scripture that we're going to look at today doesn't have a mom in it. It doesn't even have a woman in it. So if you would take out your Bibles or turn on the YouVersion app to Matthew chapter 25, we're going to start in verse 14. And in this chapter, Jesus is telling two parables about the kingdom of heaven. And when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like, what he's trying to tell us is this is God's ideal. This is how God wants and designed for life to work, but it doesn't always work that way. And so he draws some comparisons. So we'll start in verse 14. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. Let me stop for just a second and remind us that back in the day, they did not have banks that were FDIC insured. And so he didn't have a place to leave his money that was safe. He was going on this long trip. He didn't want to take his money with him, but he needed it to be safe. And he had a lot of money. We're going to calculate a little bit later on how much. And so he gave it to his servants. He entrusted his servants. So back, we pick up in verse 15. He gave the 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance." So in this parable, we have to draw some comparisons. So Jesus, of course, is the master, and we are the servants. So I want to look today at how, in terms of what Jesus has entrusted to us, and how we can use that to honor him and to bless other people. The word entrust simply means to put something into someone's care or protection. So in our story, it was money. The master entrusted his money to his servants. It still belonged to the master, and the servants knew that it wasn't theirs to keep. They understood this first point in your note-taking guide, that we are stewards, not owners. This is a big deal. Think about how different this story would have been if the servants saw themselves as owners of the money. They would have taken the money, and in our world's view of ownership, now I realize there's different ways that we can think about ownership, but I want to talk about the thought of ownership where we take something and use it to indulge our self-serving desires and for our own comfort and our own happiness in that selfish way, because I own something, it's mine. But Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like, which means it's different than what we're used to. And the kingdom of heaven is like the stewardship mindset, where we look beyond ourselves for the benefit of other people. So the world's view of ownership might hold something and say, "This is my property, and I can do what I want with it." Someone with the kingdom of heaven steward mindset might say, "I want to take care of this so that others can use it." If we have that ownership mindset, we say, "I was born with nothing. I have earned everything I have, and I'm going to die with nothing, so I'm going to use it all." But if we have the kingdom of heaven and the stewardship mindset, we say, "I was born with nothing. Everything I have has been given to me. I'm going to die with nothing, so I'm going to leave it for other people. It's a big difference. The ownership mindset sees something valuable and desirable and says, this is so amazing, I have to have this. For me, that's chocolate. Give me, give me, give me, and I can't get enough. But if you have a kingdom of heaven stewardship mindset, you say, this is so amazing, I want to share it with you. In the world's view, we hear things like, I'm entitled to this. It's my right. But in the kingdom of heaven, under a stewardship mindset, we hear, I'm entrusted with this. I'm responsible for it. We are stewards because we don't really own anything. In Psalm 24:1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything, that's everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him. God designed it that way from the beginning. He spent 6 days creating this amazing universe that we get to enjoy. The stars, the moon, the water, the land, the plants, the animals, and ultimately he made us, humankind. And in Genesis chapter 2, it says, the Lord God placed the man, who was Adam, in the Garden of Eden. Why? To tend and watch over it. God did not give the garden to the man to own. He gave the man to the garden to take care of what was his. God has entrusted us to take care of what is his, and everything is his. So do you see yourself as a steward or as an owner? And how does that change the way that you think about your money, for instance? Do you own your money? You've earned it. Is it yours to do whatever you want with it? Or have you been entrusted with it to do something that honors God and benefits other people? How about your skills and abilities? Maybe you've gone to college, you've learned a trade, you're an athlete, and you've spent hours in practice or music lessons. Do you own your skills and abilities, and you can use them to further your own success and promote yourself? Not that we shouldn't try to do our best, but are you entrusted with those skills and abilities and looking for ways to use them in a way that benefits other people? Moms and dads, how about our kids? We give birth to them, which is not an easy experience. We struggle through the child-raising years to try and control them and shape them and make them do what we want them to do. Do we own them? Or are we entrusted with them to raise them so that one day we can release them to be the people that God created them to be? Mary, the mother of Jesus, understood this beautifully. She had been told that she would become pregnant and that her child would save the world. Now, I don't know what she imagined for her child while she carried him, but if I was told that my child was going to change the world, I would think fame, fortune, royalty, like your mind just goes wild, right? So when she finds herself having to take a very uncomfortable journey while being very uncomfortably pregnant, and then has to give birth to the Savior of the world in very uncomfortable and unpleasant conditions, do you think she had an owner mindset or a steward? If she had an owner mindset, she would have said, are you kidding me? I have carried this child for 9 months. I have undergone ridicule and shame because I'm not married. And this is where he's going to start his life to change the world. This is where I have to give birth. No way, not my child. He's too good for that. Yikes. But as a steward, I think Mary understood from the very beginning that this child was never hers to keep, that Jesus was entrusted to her to take care of. And I think having that mindset allowed her to accept so many things that happened in his life that I, as a mother, would have a hard time accepting, seeing my child beat and hurt and shamed. An owner receives something and says, mine, my kids, my child, my time, my money to protect. A steward receives something and says, yours. The irony is that when a steward receives something, they do so with open hands. And as we see in our story today, that when your hands are open, you're able to receive more. So what has been entrusted to you? What are you holding? What has been entrusted to you? In this parable, our servants were given a talent. And we have to do a little bit of currency exchange because we don't know how much a talent is. We don't pay in talents today. And that we know that it was a silver talent, and a talent of silver weighed about 75 pounds. The value of a talent was 6,000 denarii. What's a denarii, you ask? I'm glad you asked. Breaking it down, one denarius was what a worker would get for one day of wages. So 6,000 denarii is 6,000 days of wages. And if you work 5 to 6 days a week, I've done the math for you, that's about 20 years of labor. One talent is what this servant received, equal to 20 years worth of labor. This servant received 2 talents, that was 40 years. That's the value of 40 years of labor. That's a career. And this servant received 5 talents of silver, 100 years worth of labor. What they were given was incredibly valuable. And we recognize the value of the things that we've been entrusted with. We have a house, we recognize the value of our time, our money's valuable to us, our kids are valuable to us. But one of the most valuable things that we've been entrusted with is the gospel. God has entrusted us with the gospel for the sake of his kingdom and future generations. Because at the end of life, that's all that matters. It's not going to matter how much money you had in your bank account. It's not going to matter how many cars were parked in your garage. It's not going to matter how big your house was. It's going to matter what did you do with the gospel. He's given it to us to teach future generations. In Psalm 78, the psalmist made this declaration: we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they in turn will teach their own children. You're here today because somebody passed the gospel of Jesus Christ on to you. And there was somebody before them who passed it on to them. And so we stand here today with the responsibility, entrusted with the gospel, to pass on to the next generation, even to children not yet born. And so we not only have to ask what has been entrusted to you, but who has been entrusted to you. We don't know whose life we may impact on a generation not yet born. I want to tell you a story about Edward Kimball. Not many people could tell you the historical significance of Edward Kimball. He's so unfamous, he doesn't have his own Wikipedia page. But through his simple service to God, he had a worldwide impact. In 1854, Kimball was a Sunday school teacher in Detroit. And one day he went to visit a 17-year-old boy who was in his Sunday school class. And this boy had little interest in God or religion. And during his visit with this young man at his job in a shoe shop, he led the boy into a relationship with Christ. And that young man was D.L. Moody, who went on to become one of the greatest evangelists in the world, sharing the gospel with 100 million people and founding Moody Bible Institute and the Moody Church in Chicago. But the story doesn't end there. Through his ministry, Moody was responsible for a London pastor named F.B. Meyer coming to faith. Meyer was responsible for J. Wilbur Chapman coming to faith, and Chapman influenced Billy Sunday, another prominent evangelist of the 20th century. Billy Sunday was integral in a man named Mordecai Ham coming to faith, and Mordecai Ham was the preacher responsible for leading a young man named Billy Graham to Christ. That is a spiritual legacy. Edward Kimball's story reminds us to never underestimate the influence you can have on the world by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with just one person. And I get to become a part of this story because as Billy Graham preached to thousands and millions, a woman named Renee Rue listened and saw her need to have Jesus as her savior. And not very much longer when her daughter Sheila asked her, "How do I get to heaven?" she had the opportunity to tell her, "You get to heaven because of what Jesus did for you. Thank you." And as an adult, I was able to attend Moody Bible Institute and sit under the excellent teaching set up by D.L. Moody. I'm so thankful for that conversation Edward Kimball had that day, 150 years ago. But keep in mind that when Edward Kimball shared that with D.L. Moody, Billy Graham was 60 years yet from even being born. See, our lives don't begin at birth and end at death because we are part of God's bigger story to redeem all of humankind to himself. Yes, we've been entrusted with the gospel and the opportunity to know Jesus Christ in this life, but it's not meant to keep to ourselves. We have got to pass it on to children not yet born. So in regard to the gospel, is it mine? Are we keeping it to ourselves, or are we building on it for future generations? How can we do that? Lots of ways. 2 weeks ago, we talked to you about a ministry in Guatemala that we can partner with in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with future generations in another country. Anytime you give money to that, anytime you pray for that, if you go on a trip to Guatemala or to Mexico with Casas por Cristo, you get to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with future generations, children not yet born, not even in our country. But you don't even have to leave the city of Madison to do that. This summer, right here, our neighbors, we're going to love them and serve them because of the gospel of Jesus Christ on Wednesday nights with hashtag Impact Together. Be a part of that. We're putting that right before you. The people you see and talk to every day, we can share the gospel with them. How about kids? Talking about future generations. The kids in our community need to come to Living Hope Summer Kids Jam, June 4 through 6. So the kids that you know, register them. We need them to register because we're signing up for specific classes. So take this, spread it to as many people as you can because that's a way for us to share the gospel with children not yet born in future generations. So if we have that stewardship mindset and we realize what has been entrusted to us, the next question we have to ask is, what will you do with it? Let's take back a look at our story and what the servants did with it. The servants with 5 and 2 talents, some versions read, they went at once and put their money to work. They didn't procrastinate. They didn't know how long. The master says, it says, after a long time, he came back. I don't think the servants knew how long he would be gone. They didn't know if it was 3 weeks. They didn't know if it was going to be 5 years or 15 years. But they went at once to work. We don't know how long our life is. We don't know how long until Christ returns. Are we going to go at once and use what God has entrusted to us? When the master came back, he was able to say to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You don't get to be called faithful because you did something for a day. You get to be called faithful when you do something day after day after day after day over time. That's faithfulness. And he said, "You've been faithful in handling this small amount." I think this is funny. Because remember what the value was that this servant was given? 100 years worth of labor. And the master says, "You've been faithful in handling this small amount. Okay. And I will give you many more responsibilities." This servant used what he had. And he used all that he had. He didn't just use one talent to get one talent more. He used all 5 talents and got 5 talents more. Are you using what you've been given? Maybe you don't have 100 years worth of labor saved up, but you have something. God has entrusted you with a certain amount of money and a job with the ability to earn more. What are you doing with that? Are you giving that back to the master? It's what we do at church when we take an offering and a tithe. We use that as a church, what you give back to God to honor and bless other people through the various ministries and operations that we have here at Living Hope. So give that back to the Master. It's not yours anyway. We've all been given, entrusted with time. Everybody gets 24 hours in a day. Are you using that time to honor God and bless other people? One talent had the value of 20 years worth of labor. I'm going to put a little Mother's Day spin on this. Assuming our kids grow up and leave home at an appropriate age, which doesn't always happen, about how many years do we have our kids in our direct care? About 20. One talent, 20 years, valuable time that we've been given with our children. What are we doing with that time that we've been given to be with them? I'm learning to accept the fact that I'm going to have a high schooler. It's hard to say that. And I know that our days together are numbered. But there's an app that's connected with the curriculum that we use with the kids upstairs. And if you're a parent, write this down. It's the Parent Q app. Parent Q app. And in this app, it gives me some helpful tips and encouragement, but it reminds me that I have 220 weeks left with Medora, and I have 428 weeks left with Celia. So I've got a little bit more time with the younger one. But I need to be faithful during those weeks that I have left to teach them, to model a life of faith for them, and to help them discover the plans that God has for them so that when they reach that moment of release, they will be who God designed them to be. That's the job that I'm entrusted with. And all of us, moms and non-moms, we all want to hear the Master say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." At the end of the day, that's what we want to hear. So when you find yourself facing a decision or a situation or a difficult relationship, our tendency is to think, well, what's going to make me happy? And what's going to give me the best end of this? And what's going to make me more money? But what if we flipped that completely and said, what would make my Master say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? I think if we asked that question, it would help us avoid the result of this third servant. Remember what happened to him? He was given his one talent. He said he was afraid, so he dug a hole and buried it. And when he gave it back to the Master said, "No, it's going over here to this guy." What was different between the first two servants and the third servant? Because they all had the same master. They were all given the same instructions. What they were given was all according to their ability. They all had the same amount of time, even though they didn't know how much time that was going to be. I think the difference was this servant had a different relationship with the master. He said he was afraid. The first two servants went at once and put the money to work. I think they trusted the master. But the third servant did not have that relationship. And so I ask you this morning, what is your relationship with the master? Are you like the third servant, and you're afraid, and you're hiding? Let me encourage you to examine your heart and get acquainted with who Jesus really is, because he is kind, and he loves you no matter what. And he gave his life for you, so you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to hide. And he wants to celebrate with you. And if you want that kind of a relationship with Jesus, we want to celebrate with you. And I want you to find me, find Pastor Nathan, find somebody who attends Living Hope Church and say, "How can I have this relationship with the Master?" Maybe you're like the first two servants and you trust the Master, you trust Jesus. Does your trust motivate him to take what he's given you and use it to honor him and to bless others? Are you receiving what God has given you with open hands? Because we see in the last verse that we read, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. So if we lived that way, let's think about what if. What if you viewed the money in your bank account as God's? And you said, yes, the Bible commands us, instructs us to give a tithe, which is the first and the best back to God. What if we all gave that 10% and were able to serve the needs and all the needs in our community? What if you viewed your neighbors, your next door neighbors, as someone that God has entrusted to you? Because everything that God does is on purpose, and everything he gives us is according to our abilities. And what if through your neighbor's relationship with you, they got connected to the God who loves them? What if, for just this summer, you saw this time, this valuable time, as entrusted to you in your family? Will you use it to rush to every sporting event and every practice so that your child could be the best athlete they can be? Or will you use that time to build a strong spiritual foundation? There's time for both, but what plans do you need to make or change so that if we met back here in September and the master came and we had to give an account of how we used our time, he would say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's celebrate together. What if you saw your circumstances, good and bad, as something that God has entrusted to you? Priscilla Scherer said that we don't often realize that where God puts us is the very place we need to be to receive what he wants to give us. Remember Mary? As unpleasant and uncomfortable as the events surrounding Jesus' birth were, it was exactly what needed to happen for God's purposes to be fulfilled. So take some time today, on Mother's Day, to evaluate and examine what you're holding and what you're doing with what God has entrusted to you. Ask it individually and ask it as a family. And ask, am I holding on to what God has given me, and am I doing something with it that honors him, that blesses other people, and it's worthy of the praise of my master? Well done, good and faithful servant. Heavenly Father, you are a good father. And I love the idea that you want to celebrate with us. You've given us so much to be entrusted with and so much that we're responsible for. And God, sometimes we forget and we think it's ours and we don't always do the right thing with it. And so God, we're here today acknowledging that what we have has been given to us from you. And we want to be faithful to do something with it that will honor you. And whether it's kids, whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's plans, help us, God, to see the value of what we have because it's from you. And to strive to please you in every way. Thank you for the mothers that you've given to us who have told us enough about Jesus to know that we need to be here today and we need to be seeking you and we need to be living a life that seeks after you and that passes our faith on to children not yet born. God, we give all of ourselves to you today, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.